tell you what, let's start at 21. Read down to 25. Open up in prayer. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word as we approach it. We pray that our hearts and minds are clear to receive it. And we pray that the truth of your word might impress our hearts and encourage us in Christ, not only for our security's sake, but also for motivation that we could do the things that you find worthy and well-pleasing. Pray for each member of your body represented today, that you might strengthen us according to our needs as we go forward. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody. I take it everybody's feeling okay? Okay. That's rhetorical, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, we last week we looked at the faith of Christ. We ended up on that. That is his fidelity, his faithfulness to the word and will of God. And we saw how that faithfulness was what secured, I guess you'd say, it was the righteousness of God. When the righteousness of God is, how can a man, as Job would put it, how can a man be just with God? And that's through obedience. And we saw that the faithfulness of Christ is really his obedience. That is his submission to the complete worship and service of the Father. He was completely dedicated to God's word and his will. His heart and mind was solely focused on the Lord. And that was called, the scripture called it, the faith of Christ. And we know throughout scripture he would always say, not my will, but his will. I do nothing of myself. In Philippians 2, Philippians 2 said he became obedient unto death, even that's a complete surrender. I think Romans 5 says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Or I make them say me. I don't make them say me, but I back them into that me corner. You know, you people say Christ died for our sins, buried and rose again the third day. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's, Paul said that this is gospel whereby you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have
believed in vain.
See, you can quote it, you can memorize it, but when you have the word is mixed with faith, when you actually believe it, it becomes personal. It's not yours, ours, it's me and mine. Your uncle used to say, he still says this, when he prays, he said, Sylvester, he said, we'd pray for the service, and he said, I ask all these things in my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Years. He probably don't remember that. I said, one day, why do you do that? He said, do what? So why you say my? You know, why you say in our Lord and Savior? He said, well, I don't know what y'all believe. I know what I believe. I said, you know what? That makes sense. He made it personal. You can't just, a union is not a unity. Everybody in the same room ain't together. I guess, you know what I'm saying. That's, but when he said that, I said, okay, you have to make it personal. That's why when you get to the faith of Christ, verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, what's the rest?
Unto all,
but
upon all them that believe.
You see, that's collective. Unto all is collective. Upon all, that's specific. It's available to all, but it's only upon those that what?
Believe.
We have trouble with those, i.e. So the condition is what?
Faith.
That's personal. So the question is, if that man or woman wanted the righteousness of God, the way to access it without the law is through the faith of Christ. And you know, I heard people would say that it's what Christ believed.
He's God.
No, let's watch this.
Is it his fidelity like the, it's just another way of saying the integrity of God. Just like when God made that covenant when Abram was asleep and that the covenant was with himself.
It's not that hard. When he said the faith of Christ, he explains it to you. 22. But now, the righteousness of God without the law. Well, you know what the law is, right? What is the law?
It's obedience. It's do and you will.
It's what?
Do.
It's what?
Performance.
She said, I know that's, I wrote it up there. It's due. Even the righteousness of God, which is by, without the law, being witnessed by the, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, there is no difference. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith. Propitiation. Now, one thing you do know is when you see this, there's some action behind that. Right? Oh, there's an action. There's some action behind that. Right, doctor? So, it wasn't what he believed. There had to be some propitiating in there somewhere, right? You can talk about it. You can read about it. But I need some
proof. It was his actions that confirmed that he believed it.
I need some doing. They believed the law. Didn't get it done. That's why you got it. This. Fidelity. This will get it done. This will get it done. He will get it done. Romans 8 says what the law could not do
is that it was weak through the flesh.
Christ came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. He did it. And what he did, God says, I like that. That pleases me. That's why he said, this is my son who believes everything I says. I say. He what? That's so they go together. But the main emphasis, he says, verse 25, Paul says, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood to declare his performance for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. One more time. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. You get the idea that God is trying to tell you, I'm satisfied with his performance, not yours. We already 22, 23, 21 already concluded. We have already concluded all in unbelief. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That ruled us out, right? And then his son comes and he is the one that satisfies God. His performance. His works. Philippians. Philippians, just hold your hand in Romans. Philippians 2, 3. That's it. Philippians 7:3-7. But what things Paul is talking about his performance? Tell you what, go back up to 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit, and We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there for a second. He said, we worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in... What's the opposite of Spirit?
Flesh.
Flesh. If we're the circumcision that worship God in the flesh, we would rejoice in what?
Our works.
We would rejoice in our works. But if we're the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit... We would rejoice in what?
His works.
See how you can read sometimes what Paul said right there. He's repeating it right there. He says, we're the circumcision which worship God in spirit and have
no confidence
in the flesh. Yea? Query. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Why did he say that the things that were gained to him, he counted loss for Christ? Because they're fleshly, right? He says those things that I gained, he counted loss for Christ. The things he gained, they were good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Circumcised the eighth day, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew of the Hebrews, Pharisee, blameless in the law. That mean something? All these things were required for righteousness. He said, if you're not circumcised the eighth day, you're cut off from the people. The tribe of Benjamin was a tribe that's loyal to the Lord. A Hebrew of the Hebrews, he could trace his lineage back. He knew he was a full-blooded Jew. That means that when they went into captivity, his people, you talk about ancestry DNA, when he did the DNA test, his people stayed true. They didn't intermarry when they went into captivity. Pharisee and the Pharisee, those are the ones that were strictly adhered to the law. And he said, not only was I a Pharisee of the Pharisees in Galatians, he says, I said it.
Gamaliel's faith.
And I excelled
in the Jews' religion
above many of my equals.
It's funny, half that stuff he had no control over. He was born into this, born into that. It's like, it's not stuff he ran on.
Well, they passed it on his parents. They were faithful.
But that's why the Lord said to Nicodemus in John 3, flesh is flesh and spirit is spirit. You have to be born again. Because just being a DNA Jew wasn't enough.
Right. But he was putting his DNA up against.
Right.
Touching the law.
Blameless.
That's questionable. He meant that as... in the prescribed approach, I did all that. I kept the Sabbath, circumcised, met in the temple. I did all those things. That's his righteousness. Do you think God could look at him and say, you know what? That's pretty good. And he said, as far as my excitement about it, my dedication to it, he said, I persecuted the church. When I saw something different, Luke, I went after it. He wouldn't last a day in 2019, would he? He would, if he saw something contrary, you know what Paul was, Johnny? He was a modern day Muslim. He said, I don't believe what you're saying, and to prove it, I'll kill you for it. Yeah. Isn't that we look at today? That's radical, right? Is that conviction? That dedication? That's why Paul, when he lined it up, he says, but what things were, this is all a gain to me. He says, what I thought was a gain, he said, those I counted lost for Christ. You know, what's interesting is all these things really, if the law really worked in him, he would never think that. He wouldn't. I tell you what, his mind, this is how his mind would change. Look at Thessalonians. Hold your hand in Philippians and Romans, but Thessalonians. First Thessalonians. Chapter 2. Verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So, here's what I want. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear to us. Paul, if it was working, if the righteousness of the law, that is, if your works would have produced what God really wanted, you wouldn't look to kill that man. What would you look to do? Save him, help him. You just read it.
Give your life
for that man. You would be willing to what?
Die
for that man. Uh-oh. You see that? That's why the farther he went that way, the farther away he went from Christ. So the ruler, he asked the Lord, what's the two greatest commandments? Love the Lord and love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your Lord. Love your neighbor. Where do I fit in there? Somewhere. I don't know. Those are verses we don't like. But that's what the law could not do, is produce. One more. I'm just thinking before we get back here. When the two brothers, they says, the mother says, give it to my sons to sit in the kingdom with you, one on the right hand, one on the left hand. What'd he tell them, Melissa? She said it already? She says, not mine to give. And it said, but that's for my father. But he that would be greatest, he says, he that would be greatest, let him become servant of all. If you want to be the greatest, you have to be the greatest servant first. You know what made my uncle, when Perry was here, I remember one sermon, he said the late Pastor Watkins, and he said the late great Pastor Watkins, and he was true. Not that you estimate a man more highly than he ought to, but he was, what made him great, because he was a great servant. That's what made him great. I witnessed that firsthand. And I didn't live in the same house. I spent a lot of time in that house. But I can see, I witnessed his greatness. It was not. It was not for himself. That's what made him great. It didn't, whatever time, whatever situation, he was always there. And he tried to be there. I said, when he used to, anyway. But that's what made it, that's what the Lord said, if he would be greatest, then let him be servant of all. Why is that such an issue? Why is service such an issue to God? Let me add another word up there. Why is worship and service such an issue to God? Because that's what he's trying to form in us, is a spirit of worship and service. Because that's what man was designed for. That's what he created man for. When you're working for him, with him, doing things he wants done, how he wants it done, that transforms to service. So when you get to Romans, where we're in Romans, did we leave Philippians? Okay, let's go back. Philippians. Then we'll go back to Romans. You see, you know what's going to make Luke a great doctor? Not because he got all A's. Did you get all A's, Luke? Right. Not because he gets all A's and passed the board, and he's, you know what, some doctors, they come in the room and they say, well, looked at your chart, you're going to die in 2 weeks. I'm sorry. They have no, what do you call that? They have no bedside manner. Facts, right? Sure. Facts, reading off the chart. We've been monitoring your progress. The man comes in like, you dying. Oh, wow. You did. You got everything together? No heart for the job. So what's going to make him a good doctor is he's got to have a heart, a servant heart, where Paul said, I'm not only willing to give you the gospel, but my own soul. Because you are dear to us. That's free, Dr. Luke. I know you know this, but where are we at? Philippians? Okay. Sorry. You're just talking, right? We just going over to 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. There's that, Celeste, my Lord. He didn't say our Lord. He said my Lord. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. My own what? How did he get his righteousness?
Had a call?
Sure.
By performing.
By my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that righteousness which is through the performance of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. I know y'all looking like, what? What is that? Paul says, I'm following after. He says, I've been apprehended. Apprehended. You ever been in trouble with the law? That's what they apprehend. They arrest you. That's why Paul, he says, Paul the
servant.
Is that how you spell prisoner? Prisoner. He said, Paul the prisoner of Jesus Christ. For you Gentiles. Paul said that when Christ saved him, he said he called me by his grace to reveal his son to me.
In me.
To reveal his son in me. That's in the same book, Philippians, he says, whether it's by life or death, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. That's what the reason he saves us or apprehends us is that he might, as Galatians says, that he might live in and through us. In and through us. That's why it's less of you, more of him. To die, you have to die to the flesh. Die Colossians says we mortify the right, the mortify. I see, why am I writing everything I say? But that's where, when Paul says that he wanted to know Christ, the fellowship of his sufferings, why did he suffer? Why did Christ and Paul suffer? Because they were operating in the will of God. All that will live godly will suffer persecution. The minute you say what God wants, get ready. It doesn't matter what it is. Pick one. I give you a good example. I don't know. Give me a fork for whatever. See? Now, what's God's will in that situation? Train up a child. Now, if he would have said, excuse me for a moment, and went in on an exercise, a little spiritual guidance. Like that one? Spiritual guidance. And then we were like, why do that? Why you do that? It's just a child. Should I move on? they don't like that. I can see it really. But that's something minor. So a little leaven. See, today is a fork. Tomorrow. You know what? Give another Pastor Watkins statement. He said, you play with a puppy, he'll lick your face. Right. They do things, you let it go, they do things you don't want them to do when you don't want them to do it. So you don't play. You don't let it go on. Okay, Philippians. So he said, Philippians, that if any way, he said, I might attain unto the by any means, if I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained or were already. He's telling you that the resurrection of the dead is synonymous with what?
Perfection.
Not that I'm already there, but I do this. I
press.
Follow after. What does he mean by perfection? Like, I don't sin, I don't ever do anything wrong?
Restoration of the image.
What is that? What is that? That's what he's after. He's a consistent, uninterrupted, dedicated, focused worship and service to the Father. That's why he said, not that I'm there, but I follow after. And when he gets done, he says, I fought a good fight. I kept the faith. I finished my course. And now I'm waiting for my reward.
Laid up for me.
And it's not for me only.
But all of them that love is appearing.
All of them that
love is appearing.
That what?
Love is appearing.
Everybody's waiting for him, right?
No.
Huh?
Very few are waiting for him.
In theory, on paper, we're waiting for him, right? If you had to check off a box, you're like, here you go. Do you love the Lord? Yes or no? And I let everybody in here check off a check. I won't have any boxes with a no in it. But Paul says that he has a crown waiting for those that love his appearing. Another verse that says, all those that love the Lord in sincerity. Do you love the Lord sincerely? Nobody's going to check that box. And we're going to get back to Romans in a minute. Nobody's going to check that box. Do you love the Lord sincerely? See, she's like, what are you talking about? Yes. Nobody's going to check that box. Nobody's going to check that box. Do you do everything he tells you to do? All the time? Most of the time? Most of the time? Most of the time? Okay. But here's the definition. What does that mean? And I'm going to leave you hanging on that. We're going to go back to Romans 3. 3.
Hold on, sir.
Okay.
I think that's an important point. I think you should.
Okay. John is, wait, not so fast. Don't leave that block. Okay. He says what? When he says love the Lord, right? It's like, what does that mean? Now we do have, I'll start with what we think the definition, the same verse we just got of, same passage where we use the word perfect. And Paul says that as many as be perfect. And then he just told you in the previous verses is that I'm not perfect. He would say one verse he says I'm not perfect. And then the other verse he says I am perfect. And it's in the same passage. So we have to modify our definition. Same way with love. Is we think this. We think the emotional part of it. Emotionally, all believers love the Lord, or they wouldn't be saved.
But the heart has a mind and a will.
It has a what?
A mind and a will.
It has a mind and a will. The heart, see, is not the thing that Luke is going to be working with, the flesh and blood heart. When the Lord says to those people, you're uncircumcised in what?
Heart and ears.
In heart and ears. What is he really telling those people?
Hearing the truth and believing the truth.
He told them, look, you always do resist the Holy Ghost. That's what it means. To be uncircumcised in heart and ears is you always resist the Holy Ghost. That is, you are not walking in His, you don't have a will for His word nor a mind for it. You don't love me. He says, because you don't want to do what I want done. And you don't even think about the things that I want you to think about. You're not worshiping me or serving me.
You're not even trying.
Okay.
And that's why Paul says that the word works effectually in those that believe it.
Okay. Right.
It lives out what you believe. Where your
will and
your mind are.
Yeah. More? Okay. We'll do one more. This is back in Romans where we, I think we, yeah. I talked to Romans, Romans. Say it again.
Where we were.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Romans 10. Am I in the right? Yeah, Romans. Romans 9. Verse 9:7. Neither because they are the seed of Abraham are they all children, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall what? Serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I
loved,
but Esau have I. Who's making that statement?
The Lord.
He says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What's the issue? What's the issue in the passage?
Rebellion, for one.
What's the issue? They're not even born.
Service.
The issue is service. And this is on the other side, where God is saying this. I am going to pick someone to serve me. And it's not based on what he does or not. It's because I am going to do it. I'm going to use him. I'm going to give him the opportunity to work with me for no reason of his. Here's the example. This is naturally for them. The firstborn. They get the right. It goes to them automatically. God says, look, in one case, he can ask for the firstborn. Right? In this case, he says no. The elder is going to serve the younger. Well, wait a minute, guy. You're going against your own principle. He says, exactly, because it's my principle. That is, I pick who I want to pick to serve me. But whoever it is, I still want them to serve me. You're like, wait a minute. So he can say, I want all the firstborn dedicated to me. I want all your first fruits dedicated to me. And then he can tell some people that feel like you got to pick him. Just like you got to pick him. Because he's the firstborn. He says, no. He says, I pick him. I choose him. I choose him and not him. Why? Why did he pick Jacob and not Esau? Was Jacob so much better? He's actually somewhat worse than Ishmael than Esau, wasn't he?
Well, it's as a principle that the first to be the servant, because if you want to be the greatest, you have to serve. I don't know. I didn't be listening to
this.
One
reason. Don't miss what we're talking about here. Is this, did God really hate Esau?
Well, it was speaking of the nation.
He loved him less.
Did he really love him less? What does he mean when he says, "I, Jacob, they're not even born"?
Well, speaking of the nation that comes up.
Johnny just said it. He says, I'm picking this person for service. Jacob have I loved. Esau have I hated. He's telling you right now, he says, did Jacob love God?
Eventually.
Eventually. I like that. That's
a scoundrel.
Okay. This is the same man that said, if you get me out of this mess, God, then I'll serve you. Matter of fact, this is the same Jacob that has the 12 tribes. They didn't do so hot either, did they? All God is saying is, I picked this person for service. Not that he picked me, I picked him. It had nothing to do with emotions. It's just the choice. And all God is trying to show you is this. You are not different. You're only different because I tell you you're different.
Right.
He's setting the stage. He's emphasizing grace all along.
So is this. Is it an issue of faith just like when the Lord was talking to Nicodemus? It's not that you're born of Israel, but that you are a son by faith in what I say.
Right. You have to have a spiritual transaction, a change. That's why no one prior to Christ's death, burial, and resurrection could keep the law. It told you it's weak through the flesh. You can't love him. You don't have what it takes. Yes.
So the first box that says do you love Christ, we would put all check yes, but then the second one that says sincerely, we couldn't check yes because just like it's humanly impossible because we resist. Well, we can't help but resist the
Okay. Well, I put the box up there because what it does, it when we talk about love, that is your dedication and devotion to the Lord. Now, no one in here could say that I'm completely dedicated and devoted to the Lord.
We don't have a past.
Why?
If we're not in Christ.
We're in Christ, right?
Yes.
See, here's the thing about this is what grace does. It gives you the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul can say this. Not that I'm already perfect, but what I am doing is I'm following after. I'm pursuing this. Because he knows that. This is the thing about grace is God gives you the opportunity, the privilege to change your mind daily, moment by moment, to follow him. It'll be, I think we were talking about this last week, Johnny, is how many agree with this? You don't have to sin. Let me see your hand. You don't have to sin.
We're dead.
Mm-hmm. How you know that?
Okay.
So, what is the deciding factor of whether you sin or not?
Feeding the spirit or feeding your flesh, which you can die into.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry.
It's a choice of volition.
It's a choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
What keeps us from making the right choices all the time? Is it the Holy Spirit? Is he not strong enough?
Well, It's our flesh.
Is the Holy Spirit not strong enough for us to overcome?
We still have to heed the Spirit.
All right. We're getting here. We're getting here. Sin? Spirit, right? Here you are in the middle. Go here, you can go there. What is the deciding factor to keep you from walking over here or over there, in the spirit or in the flesh? What's the deciding factor? Yield, right? What's the deciding factor in you yielding? Huh? You. Okay, you. Let's get to
your will.
Your will. Yield your will. What's this?
Well, it says to yield your members as servants of righteousness.
Okay. Okay, hand, go ahead and do it. How does your hand, feet, body, members,
what's your mind?
Yield your will, your mind. Thank you. What? Whatever your heart. What does that mean?
What you believe.
Okay.
It's what you really want.
It's what you really want.
That's why I said you, because that is what you is. What you.
That's. It's what you value. Here you go. You want the emotional term? What you desire. So all these things, you know what the Lord told when the young man asked him what the greatest commandments were, and he said to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And the second one, to love thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord said, he saw that he answered discreetly. And he said, you're not far from the kingdom. He said, he saw that he answered discreetly. Same root. He weighed it out. He weighed it out and he says, you know, this has nothing to do with how I feel. This is what God is looking for. He's looking for someone with service in mind. So the young man wants to follow him, and he says, sell everything you have and follow me. Sell everything you have and follow me. And he went away
sorrowful, for he had many possessions.
Went to the synagogue.
So, one of the laws is that you can't be covetous. That is, he put his material things above the Lord. He loved money
more than
what? More than the Lord. Whatever the distraction was. I'll give you one. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. See, y'all can relate to this now. Seven 30. And they that weep there, Paul, they write to Paul, ask him questions about their current situations. And they that weep as though they wept not, and they that rejoice as though they rejoice not, and they that buy as though they possess not. And they that use this world as not abusing it, for the fashion of this world passeth away. But I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. So other things, if that man was if he was married,
he would have divided affection
or
priority
service. Everything would be split, right? His priority would be split. Okay? But he that is married careth for the things that he that is married careth for the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference also between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cared for the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she that is married careth for the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I speak, watch it, and this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare upon you, but for that which is comely, proper, fitting, appropriate, and that ye may attend upon the Lord
without distraction,
that you might love the Lord only. Attend upon. What does that mean?
Worship and serve.
Ah, that you might attend upon the Lord without distraction. Now, you ladies, you know. Some smooth talking guy. You trying to walk spiritually, stay focused. He come up to you. You say, oh, that's great you say it. I'm saying that too. Right? You focused. All of a sudden. Hey, what you doing Sunday? Oh, going to Bible classes. I thought we'd go to the park. Well, I could do that. One Sunday won't hurt. Then next Sunday, what you doing next Sunday? He said, well, he ain't going to church. He said, I'm going to the park too. I'm going to the park. He said, well, you want some company? See, the first one on him. The second one on you. There's your what? There's your distraction. And there's your what? Well, he said, Adam, where are you? Taking attendance. Where are you? Here? Eve? Here? Next week? Adam? 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 Eve? Eve? They didn't leave, did they? Oh, they were still there. What happened? What happened?
They sinned. They separated.
Yep. What happened?
Well, I guess it depends on how you're asking that question. Throwing out answers, and it's not the way.
You're right. Right. They.
Their love or even their zeal for him. has been.
That's close enough. Yes, yes. That, you know what? That dedication was gone, right? That single focus, that love, is gone. And he said, well, I see you don't love me anymore. Time to go.
Yeah.
Hit the door. Hit the gate. Hit the gate.
No.
Huh? Oh, no. No, that's a... He tells him, you know what? Hit the gate. Because now it's not... It's not obedience now. Now it's disobedience. And so what I want, you don't want to do. Right? So when he says love, when he says grace be on all them that love our Lord, listen, he's writing to believers. Grace be on all them that love our Lord in sincerity. That's just with focus, a single eye, without distraction. Because you will need that. You will need that grace because there's too many distractions. You know that, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. That's why it's called. Man, a transformation. It's a process. And the other combating force is called a confirmation. To get you to stay the same way. When he says that, that's my understanding. When he talks about loving and hating, it is just your choice. You choose to follow, you choose not to follow. Nobody even back there would deny that the benefits of following the Lord is greater in the long run. But we look short term. Is you mean they won't like me? If I do this, they won't like me? That's all right. I pass. We like to be liked. He said, if any man love his life unto, if any man, I think he said, if any man hate not his life or love his life unto death, he can't follow me. If you love your life unto death, you can't follow me. That's what he told them. It's a principle there. That means if you're more concerned about getting out of this than getting in it, then don't even bother. Aren't you glad we're under grace?
Yeah.
The performance is over. That if and deal is over. Now you do it. You do it willingly. I know. Luke Shaken, yes. Yeah, it's good, ain't it, right? You can wake up and decide, not today. And God is just as pleased with you as you were if you were sitting here. That's hard to believe, ain't it? Because you're still thinking that you bring something to the table. Like when you show up, well, God's happy with me showing up. What if you were at home reading and studying? It's good, the fellowship. But the point is he's done something for us that we don't deserve. And you don't get what you do deserve. That is where we should have been doing today. But next, you know what? Next week is the holiday week, right? So we're going to...
Well, actually, it's on Thursday.
Yeah, we're going to skip next week and let y'all pop your firecrackers and sparklers. Leftover. Well, your leftover sparklers, Roman candles, and all those other illegal activities that go along with the fourth. No, that's... But anyway... let's stop there because we way over time. We may have to come back to a little bit next week or a week after. All right. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the time we spend in it. We pray that we might meditate on these things and it may become more and more clear to us as we read and believe. We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.